My name is Ryan Conley. I'm a filmmaker and the host and creator of Film Riot.
Hey, my name is Chris Benwick. I'm an editor in the San Francisco Bay Area, and you're listening to the Go Creative Show.
Hey, everyone. My name is Ben Consoli. I'm a director and owner of BC Media Productions. And this is the Go Creative Show, a podcast for filmmakers. So today is part two of our two-part series all about the impact that coronavirus COVID-19 has had on production. Now, in the last episode, we talked all about kind of the higher-end Hollywood production. And this episode is more about kind of smaller, more local production, indie filmmaking, if you will. And we also talk a little bit about editing. So we've got two guests today. We've got Ryan Conley, who, of course, you all know and love, filmmaker and founder of Film Riot. Then we also have Chris Fenwick, who's an editor, a director over there at Slice Editorial in San Francisco. He's also a podcaster. And he gives us a really interesting workflow for remote production, which is something I am personally interested in because I'm going to try to sell something like this to my clients. And I'm sure you guys will absolutely love it too. So that's coming up in just a couple of minutes. I want to mention a couple things. First of all, last week, we did an episode, an Instagram Live rather. We did an Instagram Live with cinematographer Pete Konzel, who is known for House of Cards. He's currently working on Joker, countless music videos, commercials. The guy is amazing, and his Instagram is incredible. So if you don't already follow him, you should. Pete Konzel, K-O-N-C-Z-A-L. And he and I did an Instagram Live last week, which is now on our YouTube page. So that brings me to my next point. You should be following us across all social media because we're very active on YouTube, of course, Instagram as well, Twitter, Facebook. It's all there at Go Creative Show. And don't forget to subscribe to the show on your favorite podcast app because that way you don't miss an episode. And why would you want to miss an episode, right? Come on. So subscribe to us there on your favorite podcast app. This episode is sponsored by MZ Education for Creatives. And isn't it now the most perfect time to learn a new skill? You can do it over there at mz.com, Education for Creatives. So let's get right to it because we've got a lot of content to cram into this episode. And we're going to start it all off with Ryan Conley, filmmaker and founder of Film Riot. So I'm here with Ryan Conley, filmmaker and creator of Film Riot. Ryan, thank you so much for coming back on the show. How are you doing with all this craziness going on?
I'm doing well. We're all bunkered down in Texas now. We're on a shelter in place, like I'm sure most people are.
Yeah.
It's all confusing and scary and weird, and it feels like we're living in this sci-fi movie right now. Doing well. Definitely trying to stay positive because I think that's really important during all this.
Well, I wanted you to come on this episode because we're doing kind of like a two-part series that is all about the impact that coronavirus, COVID-19 has had on production. And the last episode was kind of that higher end Hollywood level. This episode is more indie filmmaking, smaller budget projects, commercials, local production. And I knew that you could speak really well to that because that's your industry. And also kind of the how this has affected YouTubers, which is likely not that much because I think people that are working at our level, people that are doing, smaller level commercial work, indie film, and of course, YouTube filmmakers, for the most part, can exist in this world a little bit. Like, I think we're a little bit more suited to work in this virtual world. What are your thoughts on that? How have you had to adapt your company to work now?
It's interesting. It's confusing. And I mean, I'll just be honest. I'm figuring it out. I don't even know.
Well, what are the changes that you've seen? Like what would you say is the effect that it's had? So we're now a month in or so to COVID-19's outbreak in the US. What have the effects been on your business?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's definitely going to differ from person to person. I think we're a bit unique, but also certainly similar to the other YouTubers. And while we can continue, you know, you're continuing for free. You're seeing a lot of people that would usually sponsor are pulling out, or deals that we had in place for coming episodes with sponsors and friends hitting us up being like, you know, can we put this on pause for now till we see what this is? So, you know, just as much as your indie filmmaker doing commercial work is no longer getting jobs, we're still working, but we're not getting, Film Riot's not making money right now. We're still putting stuff out there because we really, you know, want to put our voice out there and be present for our community and all of us, you know, get through this together. But there's no sponsor dollars coming in right now. And the ones that we did are, you know, put on hold until, you know, a wait and see toward the end of April. And then we'll see where we're at and go from there. So it is a scary time overall. Unless you're a YouTuber that's doing millions of views every single episode you put out, it's just not sustainable with the income that you get just from YouTube views. I mean, monthly on Film Riot, it varies and, you know, is probably not even enough money to sustain one person monthly for what we get just from YouTube revenue on Film Riot.
Yeah.
So, you know, now we have a team of, you know, three on the show plus two behind the scenes. So it's, you know, it's just not something that can sustain. So those sponsor dollars are really important to that. So we're seeing definitely a pullback on that, which is scary, but we don't want to, you know, stop the work either. We don't want to, you know, not have our presence out there for the community. And, you know, we're about to do a contest, which is the episode's going up today. We're announcing a stay at home contest where it's a 60-second contest. I connected with a bunch of friends like Adobe and MusicBed and Video Copilot, Red Giant, and they're all giving digital goods to it. So, you know, it's giving everybody a reason to be creative and, you know, put their mind and energy towards something else while we're all stuck indoors.
I love
and get something from it too. You know, we're going to have three winners for it. But I mean, you know, winner for that is a weird thing. Cause it's like, it's not about winning a thing. It's about all of us just being creative and show what we can do when we break down to the bare essentials, which I think is a nice, learning experience as well. So it just, you know, as much as possible, I'm just trying to make this something for us, for our community, is something where we're coming together, which you hear a lot of people saying. It's not my original idea, of course, where we're coming together, and this is something that it feels very much like, you know, we're all going to get through this together. So it's, yeah. So it's been tough, and it's definitely an odd thing to navigate for sure.
Tell me more about this contest. This episode's coming out on Tuesday. So how long is this contest running? Can the people listening take part?
Yeah, we're going to, turn it off on Thursday at like 5 p.m. So it's like a week-long contest.
Okay, so let me just give the dates out to people so that they're listening. So it starts today, I guess, March 26th, yep. And it's going to end on April 2nd. So for you guys listening, I know we released this on the 31st of March, so you have a couple of days, which is great, and we'll certainly promote it and retweet and stuff. But what is the criteria of the contest?
So it's got to be 60 seconds. It can be less than that, of course. It just can't go over 60 seconds. You can't leave your home. That's the whole point of this. We're being safe. It's yes. The stay-at-home challenge. Stay indoors. Stay safe. Keep others safe. That's the whole like idea, foundation behind it. And also, no doom and gloom. We don't, you know, the world is messed up enough right now. We don't need to be, you know, seeing apocalyptic end of world 60 second pieces. We're looking for more positivity and creativity is what I've been saying, is what we're really looking for. And even though this is coming out on Tuesday, that's two full days to get it done. And that's often how long we have to do an entire Film Riot. There's an episode of Film Riot. It's, I think it's called, how to create a war scene or how to create a battle scene. And we did this whole piece where we put like this tarp on the floor inside of our warehouse, and then we put dirt all over it, and we had Josh Lang on it, and then we did a visual effect in the background of like fire. So we made it look like a battle scene, but it was inside of our warehouse. And that episode was shot and finished, including coming up with it, uploading it, everything in 3 days. And that's with filling our warehouse with dirt. That's with all the visual effects that had to go into it, the editing and color grading of that little piece in the beginning. And it was about 3 days to pull it off. So, you know, it's more than enough time, especially if you're indoors looking for something to do.
So Film Riot is continuing on. I'm sure there was no threat that it was going to anyway, but you are losing sponsors, which losing the sponsors is, that's kind of annoying. I mean, I don't know who your sponsors are, but I feel like now more than ever, people are going to be consuming content digitally. Like, this is the time to sponsor things. This is the perfect time.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's just based off of the confusion of the situation. And, you know, we don't know where this is going. We don't know what's going. So a lot of them is like, hey, do you mind if we, and to their credit, a lot of them were like, very much the way that they're putting it is like, we'll still do this because we were already talking about this,
sure,
but what do you think? And, you know, I always want to do what's best for everybody involved, and we can do it. So, you know, I was like, you know, let's wait and see. Cause we say it all the time on the show, and it's not BS. Every sponsor that we have, especially affiliated with filmmaking in any way, it's always stuff that we actually like. We actually use companies I actually respect. There's a lot of companies that we used to promote that we don't anymore because I lost respect for that company in one way or the other. And so I don't want to be putting stuff out to our audience that we don't believe in. So these are all companies that I really respect and love. So, you know, if they're coming and saying we really need to or would like to put a pause on this just to see, because they need to get benefit out of it too, you know? And it's a thing I think where a lot of people are worried about what this means, you know, our wallets locking shut, you know, will people be watching as much as usual?
Yeah.
So it's definitely a risk and a gamble to go for. So I definitely understand it. And again, it's a supporting each other thing. And so I was happy to, you know, let's put it on hold and you know, see what we got to do.
Now you're in touch with the filmmaking community, probably more than really anybody. What are you hearing from your fans? What are they experiencing?
You know, it's just a lot of jobs being lost. Nobody has any work. And you saw that starting to happen slowly, but surely, just like you saw, you know, places locking up. It's just all my DP friends being like, well, there goes all my jobs for the year. I have no jobs right now. And then, you know, that followed suit with my director friends. And even post-production people, whereas it's not as bad, a bunch of my editing friends, you know, the jobs are drying up as well because things just aren't in production. But on top of that, you're having to try to figure out when you're in a production company, even a small production company, you're at a place with the servers, with the systems that can handle it. You're all together. You have your uniformed way of working, and now you have to break that apart and figure out how to do that in an entirely different, you know, framework. It's difficult. So it's even for those that can continue and are doing at home, there's been a massive speed bump to it, to where it's slowed the entire process, it seems like. So across the board, it just seems like everybody is certainly affected. It seems like my VFX friends are weathering the storm the best so far. But overall, I would say everybody else in varying degrees, you know, we're all pretty much in the same boat.
How have you had to adjust your business, your workflow, in order to stay within the guidelines, social distancing, and so on? What were the changes that you had to make?
Well, thankfully, we have like four or five cameras at the of varying levels of quality. but you know, I have two main shows under my production company, which is Variant, which is a comic book show. And that one does very well. That one actually does enough views and we have enough content, because that show's a bit different. It's like a news show. Eris, who is the host, stands in front of the camera, talks about comic books. We put, you know, B-roll over that. And, you know, so we could pump out episodes of that 3 to 4 times a week. But with me pursuing my feature career more and more in the background, I have less and less time for other things. So it's been a process of having to juggle everything. So we've shrunk Film Riot back to just one episode a week. So now there's only 4 episodes a month, and they don't do the views that Variant is, you know, well into the 6-figure views for every single episode, 3 to 4 episodes a week. So that amount of content does end up sustaining that team on YouTube alone. So that is nice and helpful for sure. Film Riot is definitely a different animal. So Variant, they took a camera. Eris, the host of that one, he took a camera home. I set him up with a couple of lights to take home. Same with me. I have it here. I have my setup at home. So everybody just took a little bit of gear each to our individual houses. And now we're using like Frame.io and just our remote into our computers and servers at the office, and kind of trying to keep a same semblance of how we did it in the office. It's just now, you know, what would have taken 30 minutes takes 2 hours. So it's funny. I'm home and working more than I did when I was at the office, which is pretty funny. So the productivity has been a learning curve for sure. Especially because I'm on a laptop. I'm not on my desktop that I had in my office because I wasn't about to break that entire beast down. So, you know, it's kind of continuing as normal a little bit, but yeah. It's like, you know what it reminds me of? I said in the new episode, it actually reminds me of like year one of Film Riot. Because in year one of Film Riot, I didn't have a team. It was me. So when I would shoot my stand-up pieces, it would be me in a room by myself. And I would just put something where I'm going to stand and I would light it and pull focus and all that. And I would roll and then do a test one, check the audio, make sure it's good. And then finally do it and then hope that the framing isn't messed up and I'm standing where I'm supposed to be. And that's pretty much what's happening now. So it's like, it feels like I'm just shrinking back to the start of Film Riot, which, you know, is interesting in some ways and kind of, putting certain things in perspective for sure.
Are there any tools that you can recommend for people that are now having to work from home, have this kind of remote workflow? I mean, I know, I'm sure the people in our audience that are editors certainly have heard of Frame.io, but is there anything else that you're using? Have you started using Zoom more or Skype more? Or what are these new tools?
Frame.io is all the things for sure.
Yeah.
That thing is amazing.
It's amazing.
Yeah. But I use Google Docs quite a bit. I use Google Drive quite a bit. Evernote a little bit. We use Slack to communicate a lot.
I've never used Slack. Isn't that crazy? Like, I've never had a need to do it. Like, our team is small enough and
yeah,
like we're able to just get things done with Google Drive and phone calls and texts. But I know it's one of those things where I know once I dive into it, I'm going to be obsessed with it.
Oh man, it's so great because it has all the same functions of like what you would do when you're texting someone. So it has that quick, immediate access, but it's across Mac or PC. It doesn't matter. And across any cell phone as well. And you know, my VFX artist is in the UK. So we're able to connect that way. Plus I have like different Slack rooms. I have like 12. For all these different outside projects that I do, or, you know, Variant has one and Film Riot has one. And then I'll have one. I had one for There Comes a Knocking when we were shooting it. I have one just with my editor for different projects we're constantly doing or talking about. We're starting our blog more. And so I have one for that. So it's all there and you can jump in between those rooms very easily. So it's really great for that because I do like to compartmentalize things. I like to try to, you know, put things in different drawers because there's just so much going on. And I tell my wife, it's like, what stresses me out is not like, oh, I'm so busy. It's like, I'm so busy with 20 completely different things that don't even tie together, you know? So you feel constantly pulled in different directions. So things like that, that can kind of separate it for you. So it's not like feeling like jumbled in your mind. I've always find really helpful, which is why I really love Evernote because Google Docs kind of feels like it just vomits all the docs right on there. Yeah. And it's just, and now I have docs about Film Riot, about my films, about Variant, about the store, about the blog, all over the place. Whereas Evernote and even notes in your phone and on Mac, I've started using quite a bit. You can create different notebooks and folders to organize things a little better. So I've actually started, like, I have Google Docs for the company, Film Riot, things like that. And then I have my Evernote for treatments and different ideas I'm working on. And then I have my Apple Notes for more personal notes or quickie things that, like, on the go. So I've kind of separated all of that now.
Yeah, I'm using Apple Notes so much, especially since the update in the most recent iOS. It's like, it's so much better.
That upgrade
was ridiculous. It was so significant.
Up until like a week or two ago, like 2 weeks ago, I didn't know how much it had improved. And then I was just writing something and I was like, wait, what's this? I can add a folder. I don't even know how long you've been able to add folders. I just discovered that. And then I discovered you could share it with people. So I was like, what?
There's a lot in there.
So I've been using that more and more, even for things I would usually use Evernote for. It's pretty great.
So last time you were on the show, we were talking about There Comes a Knocking. And clearly you are headed towards feature filmmaking without a doubt. Now, coronavirus, COVID-19 comes in, changes the landscape for who knows how long. I'd love to know how that's impacted you and your indie filmmaking career.
Honestly, the indie filmmaking side of things was already on hold, so it hasn't. I did There Comes a Knocking as a proof of concept because I was already working with my managers in 3Arts after Ballistic to set some stuff up, and then we started working on the pitch. I got the feature for There Comes a Knocking written, and we wanted to start taking that out, so that's why we did that short film. So immediately after that, I've gone into that, and we have it out to studios and getting notes back and working in that. So that hasn't, oddly enough, that side of it feels like it hasn't changed at all. Now, mind you, I'm still in the pitching phase, but the Skype calls, instead of, you know, because usually to have a general with a studio, an exec at any studio, you know, when you're remote, it feels like you're kind of backburnered. You're not a priority because there's people there that can come in and have that meeting. But the second everybody got locked down, all of a sudden it was, oh, we've got that meeting set finally.
Wow.
Because it feels like, I mean, again, this is my personal experience, but it feels like all of a sudden the playing fields was leveled because everybody's remote now. Everybody's a Skype call. So then it actually started getting answers and responses, and people who hadn't read it yet were reading it, and we were getting feedback on that. And I was like, that's good at least. But so on that side of things, it doesn't really feel like it's changed much because I am in Texas, so I'm already so far removed from it. But as far as the indie world goes, definitely if I was trying to get a short film going right now, it would be a full stop. You know, because when I do those like Ballistic or There Comes a Knocking, these are full crews. And on top of that, you know, everybody I know that operates on that sort of level that's trying to do something really cool,
yeah.
But, you know, we don't have very much money. And when we do get money, it's, you know, a third, a fourth of what we actually need to do the thing. And the only reason we're ever able to do it is because of the passion of the other filmmakers who see the vision and want to be a part of it. And so we're all making something together, making something for ourselves, each together, coming together that we can make something we can be proud of, show for ourselves and all that. But when you have something like this, I would definitely see a lot of people backing out of necessity because once work comes, they need to take, you know, the work that's of proper rate, you know?
Yep.
So
yep.
I could definitely see a major, major hit to that sort of passion project level indie filmmaking, which even on the feature side, I know several friends who do independent features. And even there, you're talking about reduced rates to get them done. It's still people coming together for the passion to get something done. So, you know, I think that will definitely be impacted from that because you have that necessity of, you need that income. So, you know, that's what I, you know, would assume based off of, you know, how I've done them in the past. And, you know, I'm certain that if we were in the middle of trying to set up the There Comes a Knocking short film right now, it would have been a full stop with, I have no idea. Let's wait and see if we can get this thing back on the rails sort of situation.
Where do you think production is going to go? Do you think COVID-19 goes away, but you know what I mean? The threat of it isn't as big of a deal anymore. People are starting to go back to work. Do you see that production will immediately pick back up and have the same, you know, fervor that it did before? Or do you kind of see this slow ramping up, this slow trickle of work?
You know, I don't have a definitive, I only have like my optimistic viewpoint.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't feel like I have anything really smart to say or, hey, you can listen to me. But, you know, the optimist in me that just always thinks the best is to come. And I, you know, people are incredible. And time again, every time, you know, people get knocked down, they just get right back up and get back up stronger and faster. And, you know, at least that's what I've seen over and over again. It's been an inspiration to me and, you know, modeled how I do things off of just watching others that can do that. So especially, you know, take the Dallas film community. The people here are just incredible. So I would not be shocked that the second it's like green light again, it's just, you know, tires hit the road. And you know, they push harder than ever because, you know, all of them are, you know, hungry to get back into it. So, you know, I feel like, it's going to be, you know, attacking it all over again. But again, I'm an optimist, but you know, I think, you know, lots of things, you know, this is unprecedented, obviously, but there's things, other things that we can look at and see, you know, how people have, you know, pulled themselves up by the bootstrap and, you know, got right back to it.
What do you think people should be doing with their time right now? Like, what advice do you have for filmmakers that are out of work, home, don't know what to do? What should we be doing in our creative filmmaking community right now?
Well, I could say what I'm doing, and that's educating myself in anything and everything. And, you know, I think everything can be an opportunity. You know, it doesn't, it's negative what's going on, sure. But, you know, you can always find, you know, a silver lining somewhere, and you can always, you know, shift your perspective. I mean, I told my wife, because I'll be honest, I was really stressed a couple days ago.
Yeah.
Feeling pretty down.
Why?
Pretty miserable.
What hit you hard?
It's just, you know, you're just seeing what's going on. The hospital's getting overwhelmed. Everything's shut down. What's going on with the economy? Wondering what's going to happen to theaters. You know, I want to see if one of my films in theaters one day. Will that even be a thing at the end of this?
Yeah.
How is the film industry going to work? I'm a small, tiny, independent filmmaker that has never made a thing. And everybody in Hollywood, when hears my name, says, who? I'm just, you know, getting started with this thing. And it feels like just as my scripts are starting to get read and there's some headway to that, all of a sudden this happens. And is this going to completely brick wall me? Because the way that films are getting financed or will be financed might change entirely. So there is an avenue to this, to where you can get inside of your own head and start to just get depressed, start looking at the worst of it, start seeing how empty this cup is, or you can choose not to. I mean, there's a lot of us certainly that just choosing not to is not a thing. You know, a lot of people have anxiety and depression. I've been thinking about that a lot. And there are hotlines that people can call for that. We talk about that in our new episode. And that, so, you know, if anybody's listening to this and they feel that way and they feel like they need to talk to somebody, absolutely, you know, reach out to those places and talk to someone as soon as possible. But for those of us who can just choose to be, you know, happy, choose to switch it, that's, you know, what I've chose to do. And it's hard. It's not like click light on. I'm good.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It's a daily choice. And, you know, whenever I see myself start slipping toward the negative thinking, and I can't control that, man, you know, I can't control what's going to happen. I can't control the world. I can only control what's in my little sphere and what I can have some control over. And for that, I choose to be optimistic, to prepare for the worst, but hope for the best. And that's, you know, that's what I've been doing. And in doing that, I've just put my focus towards, you know, when this veil is lifted and we can start getting back to some normalcy, what do I want to see better in myself? What, you know, if we're talking just filmmaking, you know, what avenues do I need to shore up, get a little better on? Are there, you know, treatments that I need to dive in harder that this gives me a little more time to do so?
Yeah.
Which is exactly what I've been doing. I've been researching a lot more on this one idea that we're pretty excited about and we want to push through very soon. So I've been diving into that a lot more. I mean, I'm here, I'm at home, I'm with my kids every day, all day long. My daughter comes in and says she wants to work with daddy, and she, you know, brings her little tablet and sits next to me and says she's working too.
Oh, that's so cute.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's things like that, you know, that I never get that. I'm at an office. So, so I'm focusing on those things. So, you know, increasing my, you know, film knowledge as much as possible. Like if you're a DP and you want to get more into visual effects, like I said in a recent episode, you know, now's the time to do that.
Yeah.
There's so many bits of free software. We have a free pack on our site, which we call the Quarantine Pack, which has like music, LUTs, some VFX stuff. So, you know, people can just grab that for free and toy around with whatever it is they're trying to get more familiar with. Cut a new reel. If you've been meaning to cut a reel for a long time and you haven't, cut a new one. If you're an actor, do some monologues, record them. You know, you work on that, and then, you know, you could pass those around. So there's a lot that we can do thanks to technology while being stuck at home. So it doesn't have to be a sit on your couch and depression thing. You know, there's still things that you can do to occupy your mind. And that's why we wanted to do the challenge. I felt like it was a great way to not only occupy your mind, because, you know, educating yourself online, that's great and you should be doing it. But, you know, I was also just thinking about how singular of a thing that is, how alone that is. And that's why we really wanted to do the contest. A couple of our viewers suggested it. And I just thought it was such a great idea, because that feels like, it feels like community. You're doing something together. And I thought that would be a good way to, you know, both occupy your mind, you know, get you thinking in a different way. Because even, you know, a filmmaker who's more advanced, you take all the tools away from them and give them only what's in their house. Now you're forced to think differently. And I think that could be really valuable as well.
Yeah. Yesterday was the first day of this whole thing where I kind of felt like, oh man, this is bad. Because I've been relatively optimistic all the way up to here about work and the consistency of work coming through, finding new clients, using this as an opportunity, yada, yada. But yesterday I was just kind of down for the day. And it was coincidentally, it was the first time that we sort of set up with my friends and I, like this virtual like cocktail hour. We all got together and, you know, using Zoom, everybody had their thing. We started talking to each other. Just the fact of getting together, even in this virtual way, and just talking with people and just messing around about the same nonsense we would if we were in person, like that, I left that, you know, hour feeling like, you know what? Okay, I'm refreshed. I can, you know, I'm not going to be down anymore. Let's do this. And it's amazing how much it helps just to talk things out sometimes and bring some normalcy back to your life. Like it really did make a huge, huge difference.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I need to do that. We haven't done that yet. Like just a Zoom hangout with the team or whatever. We need to definitely do that. That is a really, really great point. Just that, that interaction, that social interaction is such a big thing.
And all day I'm thinking to myself, this is dumb. Am I just going to sit and look at my phone and talk to these people? I mean, these are my friends. Like these aren't coworkers. Like, we should be hanging out. And I just felt the whole thing was stupid. And then once I actually got in there, it really did feel, the conversation was the same as it always would be. Everything was silly. Everything was dumb and goofy. And it was such a great, refreshing hour. So as stupid as it may sound to you, but also the broader audience, to do something like this, honestly, I left that feeling so much better about everything because I felt like, you know, the world is still out there. Like, people are still
it's
alive.
Like you're not
things are
Will
happening.
Smith from I Am Legend.
I know. It really was. It really was.
People are still here. They're just across the street. It's fine.
I know. It was a reminder that the world is still, people still exist.
Yeah. Because also, you know, you get wrapped up in the headlines and Twitter, and it's just doomsday after doomsday after doomsday. It's just like, good God.
It really was. So now is the perfect time to learn a new skill, right? This is the time. You're home. You're trying to figure out, what am I going to do with my time? How can I come out of this better than I was before? I have a suggestion. Go to MZ.com, MZED.com. Now, MZ is Education for Creatives, right? There are hundreds of hours of content there, high-quality video-based filmmaking education. That's perfect for us. It covers things like directing, cinematography, post-production, visual storytelling, and so much more. And these courses are taught by educators that are working at the absolute peak. We're talking about Vincent LaFerre, Shane Hurlbut, Philip Bloom. These are all educators on MZ. They've got courses on MZ, right? Also, the ARRI Academy is there too, and that's just a few. Head over to MZ.com, and I suggest you become a subscription member of MZ Pro. Now, yes, you can buy individual courses, but when you're an MZ Pro member, you have access to the entire library. And believe me, once you do one course, you're going to want to do them all because the education in there is so good, so high quality, looks great, and taught by the people, the best in the business. In fact, we had Philip Bloom on the show talking about his course, and who doesn't want to hear Philip Bloom teach them something, right? Learn from the best. Learn from MZ. Education for Creatives at MZ.com. Now, here's the cool thing. All throughout April, they're going to be donating 20% of their sales to the Los Angeles Food Bank. So this is huge, right? So instead of giving our audience a discount, which is usually what we like to do with our sponsors, this is even better because it's basically as if you were giving 20% to the Los Angeles Food Bank. So you learn something new, you do something good, and all is great in the world, right? MZ.com, become a pro member, and you will be so happy that you did. Check it out for yourself at MZ.com. And of course, on our website, gocreativeshow.com, we'll give you a link right to it. Okay. We've got a question from the audience. Connor Dean Harrington wants to know, how do you get creative when you only have so much footage, but need to get the point across? So I'm not 100% sure what he's asking there. My interpretation of this, Connor, and you know, correct us if we're wrong. I think you're basically saying, like, because you can't shoot new footage right now, how are you staying creative with the existing footage that you have? And if that's not your question, that's my question. So we can go with that. What do you think? Because you're hearing a lot of production companies, myself included, going to clients and saying, listen, I know we can't shoot anything new right now, but we have this archive of great footage for you. Maybe we can re-edit something. Maybe we can make some little social content based on what we already have. What are you seeing in your work?
I mean, stock footage is a beautiful thing for sure.
Great, great point. Yes. Know,
so I've used stock footage quite a bit. Some of my past works I pulled from at times. When we did Ballistic, there was some definite rethinks on scenes that just weren't working, or, you know, we didn't have, you know, we ran out of time and I didn't really have what I needed to make it work in the way that I wanted to. So yeah. It wasn't quite landing. So we rethought it a lot. Like if you go back and watch Ballistic, toward the beginning, when it first cuts to the first flashback of when she's a little kid and her mom wakes her up in the bed, the scene just wasn't working like I intended. So we turned it into this more surreal memory than, you know, what you get later on in the film, where we cut to later on in the film, then I think it's the next flashback, we just cut to a scene in the past. And that's pretty much how we use all of them. And that's what the first scene was intended to be, but it just didn't work. So we made it a more surreal, quick in and out, fancy, fast cuts. And we were able to use even pieces from other parts of the film and pluck it in there and made it more about what it should feel like.
Yeah.
And the information that needed to get started to plant the seed for what we were unfolding later on. So, you know, that's always a way to do it. And it can be hard to rethink, especially if you've come up with the idea, written the idea, directed the idea all yourself. It's hard to separate yourself from that thing and see it in a different light. And sometimes it might be to, you know, you've put the puzzle together and the puzzle's not looking so great. Sometimes you just need to dump it back on the floor and let all the pieces shatter and then look at the pieces, you know, fully step back, start from square one. And sometimes that will really, because I find sometimes when I have a piece, say I have a 1 minute section fully cut and it's just not working. Reworking that 1 minute that's already cut can be hard if it's not, you know, refining, if it's a rethink. If it's a rethink, sometimes I like to just start a brand new sequence and, you know, start from square one, because you're not being precious about what you've already done. You're completely starting over and going a new route. You know, things I've done in the past is just trying to reset my brain. Way back in the day when I cut my own stuff would be, you know, you cut a scene that means something else entirely. Mm. Make a scene that you never intended. And that'll get you looking at a different way. Now, you're not going to use that because it wouldn't, you know, hopefully it wouldn't work for the film, because if that's not what you intended, you know, it's completely yes. going away from the plan and making a new film. However, it can reset your brain and how you're thinking about that scene, about the film. And you might find an idea in there that you can then pull and then rethink the actual scene with the initial intention that you had. So stock footage and, you know, just stepping back. And also you'd be shocked at how much stuff you can actually, sometimes just an insert that you can shoot in the corner of your house with the correct lighting to match and no one ever knows. I've done that so many times. I worked on this 2 million piece with a friend where I, you know, did second unit ghost directing and I don't want to say what project it was, so I won't say the next part, but I helped quite a bit.
That's the juicy stuff we want.
I don't think I could say, if I'm getting these details, I don't think I could say what it was, but I helped quite a bit throughout the process. And there were times where he's like, hey, I don't have this shot. And we're done shooting. It was shot in a totally different state. I'm back in Texas. And he's like, I don't have this shot. Do you think you could just whip something up? And something that was shot in a totally different state at a totally different time with a full crew in this location, that was production designed. I shot an insert in my warehouse with just me and Josh, and it made it into the piece.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. And there was another film I did with another friend. It was this Ubisoft short. This one I could talk about. It was an Ubisoft short film, and I actually edited on that one as well. And there was this whole like gunfight sequence, and there was like this guerrilla team coming through the forest, and then at a gunfight ends up happening, and you know the good guys are in the forest firing on these like these drug cartel guys, and there were some missing shots, specifically a grenade that ends up blowing up a car, but we forgot to get the grenade shot, so that we didn't have, so all of a sudden just a car blows up. So 3 days later into this 9-day shoot, we're in LA, we're in a movie ranch, they're shooting this whole, you know, sequence, and I think T.I. was there on the day or whatever. Wow. And he comes to me and he's like, hey man, we don't have an insert of the grenade, which we shot in the forest at night, and we're currently in this like warehouse during the day. You know, it's actually the same movie ranch that they shoot The Bachelor. The Bachelor Mansion was like just down the way.
No way.
Yeah. And he's like, I need that grenade insert. I'm like, what are you talking about? We're in a metal warehouse. That was the forest. He's like, just figure it out, man. We need it. It's like, okay. So I just ripped, you know, branches off trees, and I grabbed buckets of dirt, and I brought it into this warehouse that I was allowed to shoot in, which had all the talent and executives in Video Village on one side. So they wouldn't let me shut off the lights or anything. So I had to figure out a way to block lights and make this work. And not only did I shoot the insert of the grenade, but I shot inserts of some of the soldiers firing, getting shot. And all of that is in the piece, cutting into that fight scene, that gunfight sequence that was shot at night in the middle of this like foresty area.
Wow.
And you can't tell. It fits perfectly. So there's a lot you can do if you get smart about it and are willing to put in the time and effort to do it, depending on what it is, of course.
I had a kind of a bizarre insert situation, not as crazy as that, but we did a piece for Amazon and we needed a shot. It was to talk about the augmented reality feature where you can place products like on your countertop or whatever and see how it looks in your home. And we needed a shot of a toaster like on a countertop. It was completely like a very, very last minute request. And I was in an airport. Like I was in flying all over Europe doing a project for another company. And we were also like, my editor was working on it. I was working on it. Everybody was working on it. It was very last minute, all hands on deck kind of situation. I'm sitting in an airport and there was this area of the airport that looked exactly like a kitchen counter. Like it looked like a little piece of granite with like this daylight coming in. And I'm like, I'm looking at it, I'm saying, holy crap, I think this could be the spot, because we needed to record with our phone. So I grabbed the phone, I did the little augmented reality thing on this section of the airport, and we ended up using it. Like it played as an insert for a kitchen countertop. And it's used in the piece. It was crazy. Like it was the craziest, most last minute thing, but I just couldn't believe that like stuff like that happens. I bet, you know, I bet there's probably a ton of stories of just even probably big films where a shot or two is just so random and put together very last minute that you would never even know. Especially with second unit stuff. I could see that being a big thing.
Yeah. I've heard from friends of situations like that altogether. There was, I believe it's even in the director's commentary, Dan Trachtenberg talks about how that pig shot, when she looks out of the window and sees that it's the pig's all rotted and everything, that was a shot totally made after the fact. That was completely made by Andrew Kramer as a VFX shot because they needed the shot.
Yeah.
Even in, I know from friends who worked on it, Star Wars, The Force Awakens had stuff that they cleared out an office in their building because it was way after the fact of shooting. And, you know, set designed an office to get some shots for a film like of that level. So, I mean, it's done on every level.
I love that.
Not an uncommon thing. Yeah, it's great. It was like one of the producers' offices or something like that. They might have talked about that in some kind of interview as well.
Oh, my God. Well, so there you go. There answers your question. There's some really good advice there on how you can be creative with existing footage. I think just in our last couple of minutes, I'd love to offer some advice to filmmakers that are maybe scared about their future, don't know what to do, want to stay creative, want to start building relationships. Do you have any advice for them that, you know, you think would kind of get them through this time, especially young filmmakers that haven't really seen, not that any of us have seen something quite like this, but if you're of a certain age, you've certainly seen some dips in the in your work. You've seen the cycles of having less work, more work, less work, more work. But new filmmakers, they haven't had a fall like this, and they don't really know if they can make it through. What do you think?
Yeah, man, I you know, I think it's the same for me personally, and everybody's going to be different, and you got to do what's right for you, and you got to, you know, keep an eye on your mental health and make sure you're paying attention to that, because, you know, mental health is just as important as physical health. You know, stress is a killer, and that's something I've been reminding myself, reminding my wife, is we can't let this get the better of us. You know, we can't become overwhelmed with stress, that the damage that that can do to you, you know, physically and mentally. So, you know, trying to keep that in check and staying creative to do that. And one of the things that I found is it was so hard for me for the first few days to do anything.
Yeah.
I was inundated with all this news. It felt like every day was like a week worth of just terrible crap, yep, is what it felt like. So it's like every hour was a new day of stuff, and it was just nonsense. And I'm keeping up with it because I'm, you know, you want to know what's going on. I have two kids. You want to know what's going on in the world. You need to be able to be prepared and protect them. And, but it was just so overwhelming that I found when I sat down to do some stuff that, you know, I have a treatment that needs to be done and done pretty soon. And I just couldn't think of a thing, which is new for me. Like, you know, coming up with ideas is never a problem. Sometimes they're bad, you know, but it's never a problem.
Yeah, you didn't say coming up with good ideas. You just said coming up with ideas.
Never claimed they were good, but they're ideas. That's the point. But, you know, I love going and just taking a shower, sitting under the hot water. You just get that sound of the water. The whole world's blocked out. You're not touching your device because, you know, you're wet. So yeah, it's a great way to just like focus in and come up with an idea. And, you know, I'm doing that and nothing, just blank. Couldn't. And so I think it was C. Robert Cargill said, you know, just don't do anything, you know, as far as like shut everything out for like. And so I did that. I turned my phone. I refused, like, there's no more media. There's no more news. I'm not going to find out anything new today that's going to impact anything. We know where we're at. We know where, you know, tech, you know, where we seem to be going.
Yes.
And so for a full day, I just completely ignored it and only consumed good things and, you know, spent some time with my wife and the kids and watched something that I enjoyed and something that wasn't, you know, I do draw toward, you know, darker fare when it comes to, you know, film and such. You know, I love me some Fincher. I love horror films, but I've been kind of staying away from that even, yeah, you know, just trying to be a little more, on the lighter side of things. And that actually did break me through the wall a little bit, to allow me to, you know, get back to being creative. And I had a breakthrough with the treatment and I finally figured out, okay, this is what the character needs and is doing. Okay, got that. So now the treatment's starting to move forward again. So I'm finding this balance finally of, you know, staying informed, which is very important, and, you know, properly informed, not random media informed,
sure,
but looking at the actual data from the proper places.
Yeah.
And, you know, and shutting it off. So it's become like a diet, you know, and so that's been helping quite a bit. So I think, you know, finding that balance, having the turn off times and allowing yourself to step away from it again for your mental health. And that lends itself into allowing you to be creative again, which a lot of people have actually asked me that online, like, hey, how are you still writing and blah, blah. I'm finding it really difficult. So I think that's like, you know, the starter for me, at least getting that point. And then that lets me get back into the rest of it and watching films. I've been watching a film every single night, which I, you know, try to watch as much films as possible either way, because that's a fantastic education. Reading scripts, you know, if you feel like you just can't be creative right now, consume, because yeah, consuming, you know, is educational as well. I tweeted out there's like 100 scripts that was posted, a really fantastic script. So go through and start reading. If you want to write, best way to learn how to write is to read, but also hunt down bad scripts, read good scripts and bad scripts. I find both are equally educational, because if you're just seeing all these fantastic scripts, it's difficult to kind of see what doesn't work when you're reading. Cause once you start getting sent things, you want to know when it's really not working. So when you read bad scripts, you could see the difference between the two, and the bad one, you can't really see what it would be. It's not really clicking with you, but the good one, it's like you're watching a film while you're reading. It's really fun. So it puts it nicely into perspective. So doing that, watching films, watching tutorials, and then once you start getting out of that block, then you can start, you know, actively being creative and creating things. But I think, you know, I don't think we need to put any pressure on ourselves right now or any stress, you know, just enjoy learning the thing that you've wanted to have time to learn, but you haven't. You know, you've been wanting to get into color grading. Well, download Resolve for free and look at the billion tutorials there are online and start learning color grading or VFX or editing or writing. You know, there's tons of stuff. We did, like I said, we did an episode where it was all about different things you can do. And we have just the notes section is just this massive area of links to different things people can check out, download, and do during this time.
I absolutely love that. I think, especially the people in our audience, the people in your audience, we want to create, we want to do things, we want to be proactive. And I think if you just go into this with that mindset, you're either going to come out with a brand new skill, you might come out with some new clients, you might come out with some new relationships, because a lot of people are home now that otherwise wouldn't be. So just, I think I like your strategy. Take a break for a second, recharge, let the craziness and the stress of it all just kind of peak in your own mind and then flush away, start fresh, and take advantage of this time. We're not going to get this back. This is incredibly unusual. We've never seen anything like this before. So let's use this time and learn something new and build some relationships. I really think there's a message there. And I think our audiences together are going to certainly do this. So thank you so much for coming on the show. It's always fun talking to you. You're so great on the air. You have so much energy and excitement.
Thanks, man.
It's got to be that Austin weather. You don't have the crushing colds of New England to bring you down.
We're in Dallas, so we got a mixture. I think I don't know if it gets that cold in Austin. And during the winter,
I thought you were in Austin. Sorry.
No, Dallas. But Austin has a great film community, so maybe I should be out of here. But it definitely doesn't get as cold as it gets where it gets for you. We have like, we get chilly compared to what you guys get.
Oh, you have to put a sweater on. How cute.
Yeah, exactly.
Meanwhile, people in Canada are listening to this and they're saying, you have no idea what you're talking about in Boston. It might as well be summer when it's 10 degrees.
It's like levels, because when I go to like California during the winter and I'm wearing shorts and everybody else is bundled up, I'm just like, what are you talking about?
Yes, I know. Exactly. Oh man. Well, thank you so much for coming on Go Creative Show. Again, we love having you here and can't wait to have you back. And good luck out there. Stay healthy, stay productive. And certainly you guys definitely check out Ryan Conley on Film Riot. Any other links you want to promote while we're here?
No, I think just Film Riot, youtube.com/FilmRiot or filmriot.com, and you can find pretty much anything you'd wanna find from us.
Including that contest, which I think is a great opportunity. So check them out there at filmriot.com. Ryan, thank you so much for being on the show.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, man.
So I'm here with Chris Fenwick. He's the lead editor and director at Slice Editorial, right there in San Francisco, which is one of the big hotspots that we keep hearing about. So, Chris, I'm so glad that you're here with us. I hope you're feeling healthy and doing well. How are you doing?
You know, I'll be honest with you, Ben. I honestly think I may have had the virus already.
Really?
I don't have any evidence of that, but I was sicker than I've ever been in January and February.
Really?
And my wife finally made me like go see a doctor, and it was long before there was any testing even available. Hmm. Everything I know about contagious diseases, I know because I've watched Outbreak, Contagion, and 12 Monkeys in the last month. So I'm kind of an expert.
Well, I wanted to have you on this episode because we're kind of talking about how COVID-19 has impacted the production industry at more our level, you know, corporate production, small budget commercials, sort of the local level. And I know that you do a lot of that work at Slice Editorial. I want to start there. How has this sort of changed or impacted the way that Slice is working and the type of work that you're doing?
Right. You know, there's a great image that was floating around social media a couple of days ago, and it was a photograph of an editor sitting in a suite, kind of looking over their shoulder, and it had. The top caption said, "This is an editor pre-COVID-19. And then there was the exact same photo. "This is an editor in a COVID-19 world," or I can't remember how it was. But it's true. We sit by ourselves in dark rooms and we stare at screens. And by and large, that's exactly what I'm doing. The only difference is I'm doing it in a room in my home instead of going to the office every day.
Yep.
The place where this impacts people the most, and I listened to your last episode, is, you know, crews that are out shooting and big budget productions where there's 100 people on a crew and they're all spreading germs and diseases, and all of that stuff is cut down. And I think that depending on how long the cower in place, that's what I call it, the cower in place demand happens, it will affect different people differently. I actually still have projects on hard drives that have yet to be posted. Mm. So there's some of that that I'm doing, and that will run out, and we will feel the hit of this. Most editors will really feel the hit of this in, I don't know, 3 weeks to 3 months when there's nothing left to cut.
Yep.
And so what you need to be doing is you need to be looking at what all of the resources that you actually do have available to you and decide what there is that you can do. Now, if you do purely entertainment at the highest level, I feel for you because I don't know what that solution is. I don't. And that sucks. And it's horrible. I, on the other hand, you know, I do, when I tell people, hey, so what do you do for a living? Oh, I'm a video editor. Oh, what do you edit? I edit a bunch of stuff you'd never want to watch. and so I'm doing the opposite of entertainment. I'm doing, you know, corporate communications, people that have stuff to say. And, you know, back on March 10th, when we had a meeting in our office, an office-wide meeting, I reminded everybody, I said, regardless of what is happening in the world, companies still need to communicate.
Yep.
They have information that they need to get out. Now, it may be as simple as don't come into work tomorrow, and it might be here's a new product that we're trying to sell. And regardless of where that sales force is working out of their home these days, there is still information that needs to be disseminated. And that's what we do really well. So let's continue to do that. And let's look at the other tools that are available to us and say, is there a way to do that? And we have found an interesting tool.
Before we get into this sort of remote production workflow that you were telling me about a couple of days ago and I think is awesome, and that's why I wanted you on the show to talk about it, I want to first start by, without creating brand new assets, how have you changed your editing? Like, I assume that you had clients coming in at various points before that would just sit over your shoulder, be in the room. Maybe I'm wrong.
That's my life. I have people over my shoulder staring at the back of my head. Some of my editors.
Yeah. So how has that changed?
Well, that is the life I have known for 3.5 decades. That's what I do. However, in the last 3 years, I will say, since I found a new piece of software, we have increasingly less people actually coming to our office. And now, because of, you know, the Governor Newsom, we have nobody coming to our office.
Yep.
Governor Newsom is the governor of California. So the software is called Zoom. And Zoom is a video conferencing tool that everybody is talking about. If you haven't heard it, you are Rip Van Winkle and just woke up. Everybody's talking about it because it, you know, school teachers are using it, Pilates instructors are using it, business people have been using it for 3 or 4 years now. Their stock has skyrocketed in the last month. At the beginning of the year, it was at like $80, and today I looked at it, it was like $150 or something like
that.
Wow. So it's a great, too bad you didn't know this was coming because you could have bought some stock.
But by the time I hear about any of those things, it's too late.
They're always too late, right? Right, right, right. Hey, have you heard of this thing called IBM? I think they're going places. AT&T, heard of it? So here's the workflow that I've been doing. We do need to generate new content, and there is information that needs to get out there. So the way I've been using Zoom in the last 3 years is Zoom has a great screen sharing tool, just like WebEx and all the other ones. But Zoom has the ability, when you go into screen sharing, there's a couple of checkboxes in the lower left-hand corner. And if you click on those, you get a higher frame rate. And that's based on your upload capability. But it's much higher than WebEx. And you also get the ability to take the audio from your computer and pipe it into the Zoom broadcast feed. So you don't get the, I can't hear. Can you turn your speaker up? Or it's too loud, you know, whatever. They're hard patched in. Okay. And that's really awesome. And you don't have to do a bunch of outboard mixing and, you know, I'm going to take this out of here and go with this and this computer. No, it's just like one checkbox.
Yeah.
So that's huge. The first time I used it was a producer friend of mine who had just had foot surgery and she was immobile. She couldn't get out of the house and she had some videos to edit. And so I said, hey, let's try this thing. And, you know, I fed the feed and I did the deal and she was watching at home on her personal iPad while she worked on her corporate, you know, very locked down corporate laptop. Mm. And about 10 minutes into the edit, Ben, she says, by the way, this is wonderful and I will never set foot in your office again.
Wow.
And true to her word, in the last 3 years, she's never been to our office. We still do a lot of work for her, but she'll never come back because as we broadcast the edit suite with Zoom and she gets to see my whole screen, she gets to see the cut, she gets to see the timeline. She is savvy enough that she knows how to use view the browser and the timeline. And I can show her, well, if I pick this up and move this over here, pop, pop, pop. So it's just like she's sitting next to me.
Oh, that's great.
So that's really powerful. And that's a great way to edit as an editor. But now with everybody that we normally would go and shoot stuck in their own homes, they can fire up Zoom. So we'll start a Zoom meeting. And we did this what day is today? Thursday. We did this 4 days ago, Monday morning. So we set up this, I guess it was Monday afternoon. We set up a call with six participants. There was a host, there was a guest. There was myself, the editor. There was the director. There was a producer. And then there was a content matter expert. Okay. And all six people had to be a part of this. However, we only needed to see the host and the guest. So what you do is you turn off the video feeds from all the people that don't need to be on camera. And then what I do, and I'm sorry that this is a very visual thing, but we'll try and get through this verbally. And at some point, I'm going to do a tutorial on this. You take your Zoom screen and you fill your I'm using an iMac Pro. You fill the screen with it. What you get out of that on a 5K iMac is you get two windows next to each other, kind of a split screen deal. And it's actually not a split screen. It's two 16x9 windows side by side. And each of them, if you do a pixel count, is greater than 1920x1080. Mm. So then what we ended up doing is we just fired off a screen capture application. We use ScreenFlow. Make sure that your audio is piped into the recorder. Definitely do tests, you know, test everything. And then we let these two guys do their interview. Hi, I'm Chris Fenwick and I'm talking to Ben Consoli. And Ben, tell me about your business. Oh, that's really wonderful. Great. Okay. That's it for our show. And thanks for listening.
So that's done. Great. So you had,
stop.
So through Zoom, you were able to get two people, two individual recordings that were greater than 1920, right. 1080. And you use ScreenFlow to record your screen?
Correct.
Okay. So, can you get recordings of each individual, like instead of recording the screen,
okay,
get recordings from the Zoom application?
So there are ways to do it. However, Zoom, especially now that everybody is using it, they have limitations on screen capture sizes and what resolutions will actually record. And this just ended up being the easiest way to get multiple windows. Now, I will also say, pause this whole discussion about Zoom. Go to Skype, what we're currently using. Skype has a wonderful way where you can actually record an image that is, I think what Skype does, and forgive me, I haven't done this in a couple of years, but they'll actually do a thing where they do a thing that's, the frame size is 1280 times 2 wide by 720. So what you get is you get one dude on the left and the other dude or dudette on the right. So you have two feeds, and then they have a little script that you can run on that file when you're done, and it splits it into two individual files. Mm. However, I don't know how, and I'm not saying it can't be done, but I don't think you can do it with additional attendees just listening in. because for us, it was extremely important that we have those content matter experts listening in and making sure these guys are saying the right thing. The producer needs to be there. The director needs to be there. You know, all these people need to be in on this. And in Zoom, I can turn on and off anybody's video window I want. And then I arrange my screen with it side by side and I just screen capture the whole thing. Now, this is where it gets a little complicated, but bear with me. I take that file, that resulting file out of ScreenFlow. Now, I do have to open it up in the ScreenFlow app and you kick it out as a ProRes, very high res, 5K-ish something. Mm-hmm. And I take that into my editor. As you know, I edit in Final Cut Pro. I believe you can do this in the other more amateur applications that are out there. But so you take this one image, this one file, this 5K file, and you're going to make three compound clips. The first compound clip will be 1920 by 1080, and you will frame the guy on the left inside that box. Now, I said the captured window is greater than 1920 by 1080, so yeah, you have a little wiggle room. You can, like, you know, frame it a little bit. The second compound clip, you put the guy on the right, and you're the same thing. You get to frame it a little bit. So you have a compound clip of guy one, a compound clip of guy two. Make a third compound clip. In that compound clip, you're going to do a little bit of art. Now, what I do is I generate a file out of either Photoshop or After Effects that is a background with a couple of holes in it, the guy on the left and the guy on the right. This particular client, they do everything in squares. So I make those holes as squares and I put the name of the show across the bottom. I do a little bit of art, but those two holes, I get that out as a PNG. And in the third compound clip, I put that PNG up and then I put guy number one in the hole on the left and guy number two on the hole on the right. So I have kind of a two up, you know, CNN, hey, look at us doing an interview kind of look. I now take the two up, the camera one and the camera two, all three of those compound clips, and I create a multicam of the three of those.
That's
and
awesome.
Now I get to cut it. I get to cut a show.
So you've got full screen of each plus your sort of PNG that you made that has both of them together in kind of a graphic screen, and you can cut between all of them. That is such a cool idea. So, all right. So the way I'm understanding it
I've been doing this, Ben, for years.
I think this workflow, yes, it's difficult to explain it without actually seeing it, but I'm sure people listening are following. We've got an extraordinarily smart audience, right? And
so compound clip is a Final Cut term. If you're not in the good editor that's available to you, it could be called like a subcomp or a
this is just like
whatever,
a nested clip or something.
Yeah, nest is a good,
So, all right. So now I'm understanding. So you don't even need to record from Zoom because your screen on a 5K iMac is big enough and has enough pixels that
it's
you can
giant.
Have yeah
it's
that
giant,
you can have
yeah.
two 1920 1080 screens on there so that when you're recording your entire screen, you're essentially getting something wide enough to record everything. It's kind of like the idea of shooting 4K and then punching in for a close up. You have the resolution you need to get two complete frames out of this. I love that. That's such a great idea.
Yeah. And then if you count the two up, you're getting three separate feeds. Yeah.
I absolutely
love
that.
It's also important to remember you could even get away with this, I believe, and you might have to zoom in a little. I think you can even get a four-way out of this and just make four compound clips. You can do a two up left, a two up right, you can do it any way you want. It just make all the compound clips the way you want for the four up or the two up or whatever. Just net them all together, create that multicam, and it's just like cutting a show.
Yeah, this is a great idea. And it's such a good solution too.
Yeah, and what's happening now in a post-COVID world is that a lot of people are realizing they need to learn a little technology.
Yep.
What we're starting to see in the broadcast world, like the Jimmy Kimmels and the whatever the other guy is, those late night idiots, they're doing all these things from their home and their basement, their garage or whatever. And you're realizing that the separation of responsibilities that exists in a broadcast world where I can just walk on stage, be a complete moron, but somewhat entertaining, and there's 100 people around me making me look good and sound good. And what we're starting to see is these people are doing stuff on their MacBook Pros or whatever, and it looks bad and sounds bad, but we're kind of forgiving those people because, you know, COVID. And so, but people in the business world are starting to realize that they need to know a little bit about this. So what we're starting to see is that we're not getting people, you know, staring at their laptop on the coffee table in front of them, and we're looking up their nose and counting nose hairs. We're starting to see people like in the first draft, they go live on their camera and you're like, oh, not bad. That's an okay shot. We'll deal with that. You know?
Yep. Absolutely.
So people are realizing they have, more and more people are dealing with video conferencing to the point where they've kind of worked out their own problems. It's like, oh, look at you. You have a microphone. Good job.
What this does is this allows you as a producer, as a video, you know, content creator, to go to clients with an idea. You know, you're not just putting everything on hold until the summer or the fall or whenever. You're saying, this is something we can do right now, which I think is very, very powerful.
Information has to get out. It does. We all have, you know, anybody in business, that's what they do primarily, is they disseminate information. And in the corporate video space, that's what we do, is we help them do it as best as possible. And so, in the last 4 days, I literally just this morning delivered the final file for the thing that we shot on Monday.
Nice. I'd love to. Could we get a screenshot of it for the show notes?
I will send you. I have a slightly modified, because I'm not allowed to share the client logo or name.
Sure.
But I have a slightly modified version that we actually put on our website. Now, if you go to sliceeditorial.com, there is a link on the homepage about, you know, seven things that, you know, can help you get through this world of, remote, we're calling it, I think, remote video production. I can't remember what we called it, actually.
Let me this is great. The seven tips for producing videos remotely for maximum impact. This is awesome. Yep. What a great idea.
Yes. And actually, that image that I told you I would send you is there about halfway down the page.
We're going to put a link to this in the show notes because I think this is really powerful information. And if you guys still weren't able to follow it, I think going to this website, sliceeditorial.com, clicking on that link and checking it out, that's going to help you really understand this. What is so great about this is this can be used in a whole bunch of different applications. You can go to your customers without just begging for work. You can go there and say, I've got a fantastic idea that can keep you getting your messages out there. And that's what people want to do. They don't want to be silent through this. They want to get their messages out. They don't know how to do it. And they're thinking that traditional production is dead for the time being. So being armed with this as a tool is
a lot of
great.
Stuff is, but this is totally possible. And by the way, if you look at those two headshots on that image, those are when those guys turned on their cameras, that was the first image we saw. We didn't have to talk them into fixing their lighting or their framing at all.
Awesome. Awesome. I love this. This is very, very cool. So thank you, Chris, for coming on and sharing this this workflow. I think it's going to help a lot of people. Where can our listeners go to find out more about you and Slice?
Well, sliceeditorial.com. Yes, there's two E's in the middle of that. And I'm on, you know, Twitter and Instagram. My Twitter account is all business, and my Instagram account is all fun. It's in the last few years, I've kind of dove head first into a woodworking hobby. And that's where I share that stuff on Instagram and stuff about my family. But Twitter is business stuff.
All right.
Chris
there you
Fenwick
go.
At Twitter and Instagram.
Chris Fenwick, Twitter and Instagram. I'll put a link to the show notes as well. Chris, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. And we are absolutely going to get through this together. And I it's so inspiring to see new ways of working that, you know, that empower us not to just sit there and, you know, look at our computers and figure what the hell am I going to do for a month. It actually gives us some tools that we can try to sell some more work. So I love this.
Thanks, Ben.
All right. I want to thank Ryan Connolly, of course, filmmaker and founder of Film Riot, for sharing with us how he's feeling, how he's doing, and how he's going to navigate this crazy time. And also Chris Fenwick, editor and director over there at Slice Editorial. I loved that workflow. And I'm telling you right now, I am going to use that. I am definitely going to use that. I love it. So I hope you guys do too. Of course, I want to thank
Matt Russell for mixing and mastering and making the show sound so good. You can find him at gainstructure.com, at gainstructure. And you can also check out our show's producer, Connor Crosby. You can find him at ignitionvisuals.com. He's the one pulling it all together. So if you love the guests, you can thank him for that. I also want to remind you that we did an Instagram Live with Pete Konzel, and it's there on our YouTube page. So follow us there. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Have your questions heard on the show. There's so much on our social media, and we've been really ramping it up lately, of course. And our website, gocreativeshow.com, is the place for everything. Subscribe to the show, follow us on social media, see what we've been up to. It's all there. And of course, I want to thank MZ.com for sponsoring this podcast. Check them out. You guys are going to love it. MZ.com, education for creatives. So please support those companies that support us. And we will see you next week on another episode of Go Creative Show, a podcast for filmmakers.